Well, I think that, first of all, we have a new constitution and it's got a chapter on leadership and integrity. And they are spelled out provisions of what, how you should do, how you should reflect national values and stuff. And so, first of all, I think I would say that Mr. Odinga's relatives are not barred from taking jobs from in the public service. But he should not give them unnecessary favoritism over the others, because then that favoritism can easily be qualify for corruption. And in a country like Kenya, we are trying to get everybody to pull national jobs that are given out, public service jobs, and in a key area of national service. And the question of national representation is as important as the question of competence. So when you bring in nepotism, you are narrowing it down to a family or something like that, it really undermines the state and is something that we should discourage. Of course, we are aware that in countries like the U.S., you had people like Robert Kennedy being an attorney general in his brother's government, J.F. Kennedy, and they had their own mechanism. So we should have that, but we should not go overboard whereby, like now, the rumor is that Mr. Odinga's brother-in-law, who is my friend, Elkanah, is an ambassador in Washington, and then the sister is a former chemistry teacher. She's the counselor, I think, in Los Angeles or somewhere, and then you come. A lot of people complain that most of the MPs are related to him in one way or another, either through marriage or through directory, through a bloodline. So if that is what is happening, then it's unfortunate and needs to be rejected. But overall, we have got major problems of representation in terms of representation of various regions of the country in government. Because if you look at the president, he has taken his tribesmen, and if you look at finance, if you take internal security, these are the two dockets can sit and have interdepartmental meetings in their mother tongue, because they are virtually the senior management is populated by people from this region and this area. And these kind of things undermine the integrity, the unity of the state, and we need really to move away from them. And I hope that the MPs will be sincere in their engagement with us, so that we tone it down, because the same MPs, if you look at their dockets, when they become ministers, they seem to also do the same thing. They want to pack the public jobs with their people from their regions or their families. And even civil society is not spared the same. In fact, the matter, the issue is even worse within civil society, because if you want to get nepotism, if you want to get tribalism, if you want to get corruption, if you want to get all these vices, their seedbed is in the Kenyan civil society. That's where they really are very, very strong, so that you'll get people having their mothers and fathers and wives and other spouses as directors in these things. They employ their cousins, they employ their people from their villages. And yet the civil society is basically a public service. So it is not just Mr. Odinga. It's an endemic problem that needs to be addressed with a realization that we as Kenyans need to move on and begin putting the Kenyan identity above any other identity under consideration.
Okay, as some people are saying that in the case of the Prime Minister, if there are qualified people who perhaps happen to be their family members, they should be given an opportunity just like any Kenyan to do that. But some also are saying that it is not fair because it gives them an undue advantage over other Kenyans looking for the same jobs. So how are Kenyans reacting to such back and forth argument concerning this endemic problem that you described?
I think that the Odinga family is not blacklisted. Just because one of them is a prime minister doesn't mean they are blacklisted. We have also to appreciate another fact that during the struggle for change in this country, when from the times of the Odinga, a lot of them were blacklisted by the state and they never got a chance. But that's not justification for them not to be hired through a competitive bidding. What I think people are concerned about is that some of this hiring is done in boardrooms where there's no competitive bidding, and therefore it means that unless your relative is in that boardroom, you're not going to get a job. So you're saying that public, there should be equal opportunity and access to these jobs. And even Odinga is qualified and the best qualified, then there's not somebody, you know, if they take the job, but they not take the job because they are an Odinga. That's what I think what people are complaining about. And personally, I think that if they are qualified and the process is competitive and they beat other people, they should be given the job. given the criteria of hiring, and I think that whether or not Raila is a prime minister is not an issue. But at the back of our mind, we should also realize that during the time when they were fighting, when we were fighting for change, especially under the Kenyatta and the Moi regimes, the Odinga family was sort of targeted and isolated in one way or another. So there we have to give and take in some bits. But then I think the reports we are getting, I think it's being overdone, it's being overcooked, and I don't think it's good for us. So we should just strive to get that they come in and through competitive bidding, if they meet the criteria, if they meet the requirements, and they meet the other people, then they should just be hired like any other Kenyan.
How do Kenyans want this problem that you describe as endemic to be resolved?
I think the problem will only be resolved through transparency. We need to know, we need to have names of people published. We need also to get a value and understanding that national jobs cannot only be given out on the basis of qualification, maybe academic or whatever qualification. There must also be the question of representation in the public service. Otherwise, the country falls apart. And so it's very, very important that we as a country begin addressing this monster and deal with it. Another thing that drives the question of nepotism and tribalism is the fact that our production systems are not efficient enough to create surplus. So there's shortage, and within a construct of shortage, people tend to gang up into families, into clans, into tribes, and all those kind of things. So ultimately, we must aim at making Kenya a prosperous society. We must aim at pursuing those policies that unlock our potential so that we begin our production systems to become so efficient that we can produce surplus. And once there's surplus, I think there's going to be a lot of civil behavior that gives others a chance. And we don't go through this construct of saying, if I don't grab this, I'll not have anything tomorrow, or my people will not have anything, because there'll be nothing tomorrow. So it really goes back to the economy. We must expand the Kenyan economy to create opportunities so that we do not have fight over the very, very few things that are there. And that goes down to the fact that the Kenyan economy is nothing but the Uganda Railway. From Mombasa to Uganda, that's what we call Kenya. We need to move away from the Uganda Railway. We need to open up this economy and go into the other parts of the country and create wealth, make Kenyans rich, and the question of fighting for these small jobs will not come up, or fighting for government jobs in the sense that we must be know somebody to get a job because, and they will want to give jobs to their families because then if they don't give this job to their people have nothing else to fall back to, will sort of get out. So to me, the solution is the economy. Let us build a modern, efficient, and prosperous economy that produces surplus, and the Kenyan, the struggle and the fight for resources that manifests itself as nepotism, as tribalism, as all these isms that we see, I think will not be as acute as it is right now.